It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Welcome on in, folks. Week 10 is back in the win column here on the Ciroc Point After. Time to get back to winning. Celebrate life responsibly with Ciroc. The Saints 20-17 over the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, always a tight one, Cajun Cannon. Hold on, we got an intro. Now we're rocking and rolling here on the Ciroc Point After. And Cajun Cannon, 20-17. Saints get a win. Always seems to be a tight one against these Falcons. We figured it would be, and man, just feels good at least to get that losing hump off your back at this week.
Well, I don't know. The Saints and Falcons have played each other 111 times. What? Now the Saints have won 56 and the Falcons 55. That's why I tell you, it could be either way, vice versa, whatever. Either
you always say coin flip.
The Saints could be good and the Falcons not so good, or vice versa. I pick them every year to split. I'm going to tell you right now, 2025, 2026, I don't even know who's on the team. I say that they're going to split. It's hard to sweep your rival, especially when you're dealing with pros. But you know what I was most impressed with? I thought the crowd was very loud for a 2-17.
They got a little bit of energy, too, with the new interim head coach in the building.
Yes, a little bit of hope.
Right.
A little ray of hope, I think, goes a long way. But I thought the crowd was very loud. They went into it for a 2-17. And, you know, that's what you need. Listen, the Browns aren't very good. I don't care who would be playing quarterback for them. Whether they still had Deshaun Watson and they're going with Jameis Winston, whatever. No, they should beat Cleveland. And you know who else is on the schedule? The Giants. Carolina's not very good, but guess what? They just beat the Giants. Then we play the Raiders. No, it's not that far-fetched. The Saints, they come together as a team, could go on a winning streak. Now, whether you want that to happen or not, if you're a true Houdat Nation, you want the team to win. Not like, oh, you're messing up our draft pick. Well, what are you talking about? No, you got
to
win now.
You play to win the game.
Yes, you play to win the game. And also, listen, these players have to realize they're playing for a livelihood.
Right.
They're constantly being evaluated. So when I look at where we're at right now, I can tell you right now, we should, Carolina, how did we lose that? Then let's say you beat Atlanta, Cleveland. I thought we could go on a 3-game winning streak going into the bye. Now when the Rams come to town and Matthew Stafford, if we beat them, to me, that's an upset. Because I think the Rams are that much better. I remember us going out there to L.A. last year. We slowed down what they were trying to do in the passing game, and now we have our top two corners out. I thought, you know, that's what I was worried about. I said, in Atlanta, I don't know, they got the big head maybe. They're thinking, the Saints are without their top two receivers, you know, and Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. They're down, they're out, their top two cornerbacks.
Right.
And Marshawn Lattimore is amongst the best. Now he's the Washington Commanders, and Paulson Adebo is out for the year. So that's what worried me a little bit, but I thought they played hard. Honey Badger, he's still missing tackles. He's going to miss 2 tackles against the Browns, watch, in the game.
But we talked about that in the press box, Bobby. There might happen, but then he seems to come away with that interception.
Yes, he fights.
Right.
He's a warrior. He's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, playmaker in LSU history. I think he's that good. And then as a pro, look, he's leading out all the active defensive backs. Guess who has the most interceptions in the NFL? Honey Badger. He takes what he wants. Well, coming up with that interception, then no, that's why you got to fight. And look at Cam Jordan. I was so excited when Cam Jordan got that sack. And when you look at it, and it's not, I have to find it somewhere in my notes. But when you look at that, that's not by accident. And I'm looking at all the media members. I'm like saying, I'm telling you, Cam's going to have a sack. Because, you know, as a player, from a psychological standpoint, even though you get older, maybe one last hurrah, whatever, can I make a play? Can I fight and make a play? Cam Jordan's fighting his ass off. He's just getting old. Look, you know who Cam Jordan's had the most sacks against in the NFL?
Matt Ryan.
The dead Falcons. No, the team. I'm just okay. Matt Ryan, but yeah. The Falcons. He had 23 sacks. He's the all-time sack leader for the Saints. I mean, look at the great Ricky Jackson and all that. He's the all-time sack leader, but he's had more sacks against the Falcons than anybody. Now he has 24. It wouldn't make sense because you play him twice a year. Like against, he has 24 now against Atlanta, 17 against Tampa Bay, and like 13 and a half against Carolina. But he's basically doubled that against Atlanta. So for Cam to come up with that, man, I was so fired up because I know how much that means to them. And eventually, if you keep doing this, you're going to win, or you should win. We were plus one in the turnover margin. So now we plus four for the season. I'm looking at all the top teams in the turnover margin. Out of all the nine, all the other nine teams are all winning teams in the hunt. We were the only one, well, snake bit, whatever, now being plus four. Like, for instance, Atlanta right now, they're minus two in the turnover margin. I don't think they're opportunistic enough as far as taking away the football, and I think that can come back to bite them. Now, I thought in the game, I don't like it whenever I see double-digit penalties on both teams. I think the referees are too involved. And what I mean by double digit, 10 or 11, whatever. But now when it's around 14, 15 or more. Well, they had 14 penalties called, so I definitely didn't like that. But like I said, the Saints in the series are up 56 to 55. And four of the last six battles with the ATL, with the Dirty Birds, have been decided by 3 points or fewer. So you look at, and if you look, four of the last six battles, and we've won three of them. So now, the last time we were in Atlanta, we didn't win, but we ended up winning this, 3 points or less. So when you look at it, and we definitely, so, you know, Falcons fans could talk smack because, you know, what have you done for me lately and all that. But it's more than 2-1 post-Katrina. You know, Saints fans, we tend to look at, even though we're up 56-55, well, since Sean Payton established, came on board post-Katrina, we've now won 26 and lost 12. So that's almost like Alabama against LSU.
Ouch.
You know, or like us when I was playing, like the 49ers, or maybe even less. You know, when you look at it, who truly has your number? Well, we've really had Atlanta's number since 2006, when you break it down that way. Now, as far as... you know, I said we have to be destined to win. You know, we had gone more than 8.5 quarters. Now, this goes back into even last season. You talk about playing Atlanta, not necessarily Kirk Cousins. Finally, after 8.5 quarters, we finally gave up an offensive touchdown. You would think if you're not giving up really offensive touchdowns, well, you should win every game, like how we lost last time. You know how we whiffed them at the end of the season last year in the Dome?
Right.
To me, we should have won. Now, Koo kicked that field goal, you know, to beat us in Mercedes Stadium.
The gree-gree worked on Koo this week, that's for sure.
It definitely worked. But the Saints, as far as playing defensively, being opportunistic, we should be 3-0. But we are 2-1 right now, and look, based on the last three games. Outstanding red zone defense. If you look at it, they were on 1 of 3. When you look at, like, bend but don't break, whatever, what you could do, red zone defense. If you look at it, we were slipping a little bit. We were at 50%. You know, we were top 10. We're number 9 in the league. I always try to look at the positives. We're number 9. Well, today, they were only 33%. So I look at, again, not giving up touchdowns, and offensively should be able to score. And then I look at Derek Carr. People don't realize – I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers, whoever you might think throws like, look, that's a pretty long ball. You cannot say that Derek Carr does not throw nice,
deep
like
ball.
Splash, what do you call it? Splash plays, chunk plays, heavy deep ball.
So pretty.
Again, this is not an opinion. This is actually has happened. Over the past decade, a lot of people might not guess this. You know who's number one? Russell Wilson. Look at Russell Wilson, what he's doing with the Steelers now, how you see those nice deep balls. But 2 and 3, they were playing today. Do you know coming in to the game, and it was like second was Kirk Cousins, and third was Derek Carr, 25-plus yards completions. Now you look at 40 yards. I'm telling you, anything over 40 yards is kind of like a bomb because, you know, you do a five-step drop, then you release it, then you end up catching it maybe 45, 50 yards. No one's throwing no bomb 70, 80 yards. Now, you might run, but no one's actually throwing that. Coming into the game, 40-yard completions the last decade. Derek Carr was 4 with 95. Kirk Cousins was 5th with 94. Look at those chunk plays to Valdez-Scantling.
Beautiful.
Beautiful piece of work. That's beautiful. Listen, just go back. I know y'all taped the games through that nation, and you go back and you want to replay and watch it. Just look at those throws. And look at Valdez.
In the bucket.
Dropping it in the well. That's what I always say. It ain't no, you know, throw bullets at all. Just drop it in the well. And that one on the right sideline, he said, oh, it looked like triple coverage. People say, oh, look at triple coverage. Well, it's not triple coverage because they can't cover every inch. That shows you how accurate Derek Carr was. And I got to give Valdez Scantling his props. He's now 30 years of age. I don't know. Did he look old running fast or running? He didn't look old to me.
And the Bills just cut him.
Yeah. Okay. And Steve, maybe because, you know, with the Bills, he had 2 catches, 28 yards in 6 games.
That was it.
Well, we need him. I mean, just look at the impact that he had today. He had 3 targets, 3 catches for 109 yards, 36.5 yard average.
Ding, 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 ding.
So, and then when you look at it, he's played in 98 games across 7 seasons. He was a 5th-round pick. He's had stints with Green Bay, the Chiefs, and the Bills, but he maybe found a home. We don't have Rashid Shaheed, so we have to have somebody take the top off the defense. That's why I think, and he's a big target. You know how, like, Chris Olave, they little? Well, Valdez-Scantling, he ain't little, and he's fast. You know the physics of it, size? Give me a big, fast guy instead of a small, fast guy. Now, a small, fast guy is good because if you're small and you're not fast, you can't play. But if you're small and you're fast, you can play. But if you're big and fast, you know why he's been on all these other teams? Because sometimes he's had the dropsies. Oh, no. Come on, catch the ball. You did everything else right. Just finish.
Wasn't a problem today.
No, wasn't a problem today. But you look, he's 6'4". He ran a 4.37 40-yard dash at the combine. And you look through his career, he averaged 17 yards a catch. That's kind of like, you remember like Devery Henderson, old school.
Right.
Or you look at Rashid Shaheed. When they hovering around 17 and a half, 18 yards, no, they could take the top off the defense. So good for Valdez-Scantling. Remember, I always have told you that. Charlie, don't he have like 3 names?
Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Yeah.
Anybody with 3 names, they're always good. if you make it to the NFL and you have 3 names, they end up being a stud. I don't know why.
Wait, what happened to Stanley Jean Baptiste?
Oh, that's an exception. You got me on that one. Yeah. He should just go by Stanley Baptiste.
There you go,
And forget DeJean. But no, usually like guys with 3 names, I don't know, they just seem like they're off the chart. But you'd have to say, because you know I love my stats.
Right.
And you know, this is an ugly win. Because I don't know what we got. They had 25 first downs. We had 14. On third down, our defense was outstanding. They only converted 36%. We weren't much better. We were only 38%. I wish that'd be 48%, you know, conversion. And therefore, you know, the first downs, they had the ball. Usually we've been doing this, but what if you do this and you don't win? When you're controlling the ebb and flow of a game, they had the ball over 10 minutes more than we did. But it didn't help them. We didn't win. And then if you'd have told me this, that ain't good. I'm looking at rushing. What are you averaging per carry And what are you attempting to rush? They averaged 5.7 yards a carry, almost 6 yards a carry. We were at 3.5 yards. But we still end up winning. Now, end up plus one for the game. But they had 0 sacks. We had 3 sacks. So net punting was equal. That was a push. So, I don't know. Seems at times we were able to stop Bijan Robinson and Algier. What's his first
Tyler
name?
Tyler Algier, yeah.
Yeah, Ty Algier.
Other times there were wide open lanes, Bobby.
No, 5.8 yard average, and Algier was 5.5. And they had that long gain of 37, Bijan Robinson. So they had 181 yards, 5.7 average. But we stopped it when we needed to. Remember on the goal line?
Huge.
And they finally got in on fourth down, but that was a hell of a goal line stance.
Right.
It shows you they were fighting. If they weren't fighting when they got the ball on the half-yard line, yeah, they'd have let them in on like second down, whatever. And not like, whoa, we stopped them 2 or 3 downs. That was outstanding. Looking at Mooney, who's been, kind of their unsung hero. He got targeted 10 times, 5 catches. The kid from Tulane, basically a 19.5-yard average. He had 96 yards. London, Drake London, that's the one you've heard of. He had 8 catches for 97 yards. So you can look at their numbers. And then Alvin Kamara, from the get-go, now, he'll tell you, probably the worst play he ever made in his life. You got Steve, you had a quote what he said. And like, you got to catch the ball because you can't be playing scared. The Saints weren't playing scared. They're trusting you, Alvin, and he knows that. And he's probably, please, defense, stop him. Because he don't want that to be magnified in the day he broke and the record of Mark Ingram and became the all-time Saints rushing leader. So what did he say, Steve?
Yeah, on that drop, and obviously we've gotten on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line too, a lot of folks being hard on Kamara with it. Believe me, he knows. He goes, man, that was the lamest thing I ever did in my entire career.
Yeah, because he knows it's significant.
Exactly.
That could be, you know, game of inches, whether you're winning or losing the game. No, that's you never want that to happen. But when you win, you can overlook that.
Sure.
It's easy
to get over it.
You can never be lackadaisical. It's got a constant concentration. Now, on the defensive side, DeMario Double D is being more like old Double D. He had 10 total tackles. You know, since DeMario Davis came over from the Jets, haven't we expected that the whole time? And they have one of our players who had also 10 tackles, Kane Nellis. We developed Kane Nellis, and then they paid him, and they kept him. So, because that's – Kane Nellis is like – you know who would be like his mentor? DeMario Davis, you know,
right,
playing alongside him. You know, unsung hero, given opportunity to play, you can't miss him, number zero, Ugo Amare. I think he was fighting his behind off. He had 9 unassisted tackles, 9 total, 3 tackles for a loss.
Hello.
A pass defending. I got to give him his props. I mentioned Cam Jordan. He sacked nobody more than a Falcons player. He had a sack, quarterback hurry, tackle for a loss. Chase Young finally showed up like we talked about him in training camp. Remember, I would say, oh, watch, because he wasn't even coming close to sniffing double-digit sacks. Well, today I'm looking at he had a sack, 2 quarterback hurries, tackle for a loss, force a fumble. And you know who else showed up? And he hurt Coach Rizzi, Peyton Turner. Now, is Peyton Turner, can he play for a month? Can all of a sudden he had this kind of impactful game? What he's going to do against the Browns? What he's going to do against the Rams? You know, because all of a sudden, if you're a little beat up, you can maybe got the bye week. But Peyton Turner, this is why he was drafted in the first round, but you got to be available to be held accountable. He had a sack, 2 quarterback hurries, tackle for loss, pass defended, forced fumble. So the ability is there. Remember, I always tell you he's a poor man's Marcus Davenport. They both can play, but you got to play. You can't be like the same thing with the damn. Now I'm talking about the Pelicans with Zion and the hamstring. What? The fans want to cheer for you, but you got to be available. You have to play. I mean, I said this even before the game. I don't know. Our pro franchise between the Saints and the Pelicans. We need to have some good mojo going on our injuries.
Somebody's got to come in,
I don't know.
Get rid of the evil spirits that have been surrounding.
No, our 2 professional franchises, I've never seen so many injuries, and it's so frustrating.
The patron saint of health or something this team
Yes,
needs.
Yeah. So say your rosary, all you good Catholics around here, and get that going for us. But, again, you look at Alvin Kamara coming into the game, anybody hating on him and how much we rely upon him. You know, he was first coming into this game in the NFL with the most first downs. Well, I think he that's going to continue to grow when all said and done. He was third in total yards from scrimmage, and I always want him to have – how much he had today? I always want him like at 120, 125. You know, not like he had last week. What he had? He had like 215 last week. He didn't have to have that much, but look at this total yards.
109 total.
109? Okay, it has to be over 100. I'd rather it be 119 or 129.
Remember the one play we saw him today?
Well, if he'd have caught that ball.
Right, that would have.
He would have been right there.
We saw that one play. It looked like he teleported, went into a pile of guys, and somehow came out the other end.
Yeah, kind of like always. He reminds me of a Matrix back.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I'm like, whoa, how'd he get? The only time I had that Matrix experience, you know, like that, is when I got my bell rung and like kind of playing with a concussion or whatever. And it's like, am I playing right now or am I dreaming? And it's like, whew, you know, and you feel like you're avoiding people and all that. And you're like, am I really here or am I not here? But Alvin Kamara can make people miss like they're not there. So good for Alvin. But if you look at, just to show you the impact, what he means to the Saints is that you look at this year. I think all football fans and all fantasy players, they know these names. Coming into the game, you know who's number one total yards from scrimmage? Derrick Henry. Hello. Look what he means to Lamar Jackson, the Ravens. You know who's number two? Saquon Barkley. What he's done with the Eagles. I don't know why the Giants let him go. They paid Daniel Jones, should have paid Saquon Barkley. What are you doing? So you look, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, and Alvin Kamara. That's why Kamara got still something left in the tank. That's why he gave him a new contract, even though he'll be 30 next year. He still has, how the young people say, he still has a lot of juice. You know, he gives us that juice that we need.
20-17, the final. Sure feels good to get back in the win column. Black and gold now 3-7 on the season. Before we take a break, let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Taking a break, we'll be back. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Coming right back on the Ciroc Point after this. It's been so long since we've got to enjoy winning football. Getting into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Oh, you fine, wonderful who dats. 504-260-1870. First up today on the Ciroc Point After, Hector in New Orleans. What's up, Hector?
Hey, guys. Finally, we have something to celebrate about.
Woo-hoo!
I was real happy, but I really, truly believe the difference in the game was the energy. I think he got infectious from the coach to the players, because for the first time, I actually got off my sofa and I was really cheering for the defense to start making plays, which they did at the end. But the secondary played really hard, because at times during the game, I thought the secondary held up enough, considering the injuries, because at times I felt like they weren't getting enough pressure on the quarterback until the very end, which was great.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
The only thing that going forward, just like Rizzy said on his post game, the penalties. The penalties still concern me. That's still a carryover from week to week. Penalties is starting, that needs to come down.
Yeah, we had eight penalties, 76 yards. It always tell you nine or more penalties. No, that's like giving up a touchdown. But we were playing with fire. We had 8 for 76. You know, you never want nine penalties or more or around 100 yards. So, yeah, that could come back to haunt you.
Last thing, the best thing about today was finally, we actually beat a team that actually outrushed us, outpassed us.
Right.
But won the turnover battle, and I'm glad it happened to the Falcons.
Yeah, I tell you what, Atlanta thought, I'm just talking, I've done a couple of shows in Atlanta and all. They said, Bobby, you crazy. Ain't no way we're going to lose to the Saints this week. I'm telling you. I said, no matter what's the record, because I've witnessed this. And no matter what the records, it's a rivalry-type game. And, again, let's say it was flipped. And the Saints had a four-game lead in the NFC South, Atlanta coming here. You got to come to play. You got to be a pro. That's why you're constantly being evaluated. The big guy in the sky don't lie. That's why the players, you might say, oh, they're playing for pride. No, they're playing for a livelihood. They're playing for their job. Coach Rizzi's coaching for his future. Coach Rizzi, and he takes the approach, why not me? Because you have only so many opportunities. you know what? This is an opportunity for him, even though he's an interim head coach. He's being evaluated. You know, he did an interview, the process. He was part of the Dennis Allen thing. And you might say, well, Bobby, how can he be a head coach? He's a special teams coach. Who's one of the best coaches today in the National Football League? I think he's pretty successful in his special teams, his background. John Harbaugh. You ever heard of John Harbaugh with the Ravens? Not Jim Harbaugh's brother, you know, University of Michigan, and now with the Chargers. John Harbaugh, his background, special teams. I think the Ravens are pretty solid. And they make a lot of changes, offensive and defensive coordinators. You look at all that, and it seems like the Ravens are always in the hunt. And as an owner, that's what you want to be. You want to be like we're always in the hunt. When I played, you know what was outstanding? And I tell you, well-read. One of the smartest individual coaches. You could talk history. You know, I love history about anything. Marv Levy. Now, he never won a Super Bowl, but think how hard that is. Marv Levy took the Bills to four straight Super Bowls and they never won.
Back to back.
Now, they should have won the first one. when their kicker, when they lost
Scotty
to the Giants,
Norwood.
When they lost to the Giants, the other ones, no, they should have lost. But that, you know, so close but so far.
Wide right.
But he still took them to four straight Super Bowls. His background, special teams. Do you know the winningest coach? I should say, who wants to be the winningest coach and surpass Don Shula? He needs 14 more wins, and he wants to coach next year. He ain't giving up. And I like his Halloween costume. I don't know. He had his girlfriend dressed as a mermaid. I thought that was awesome. And he was fishing and he caught her out of the ocean. Steve, you sent me that.
Yeah, a nice 24-year-old right out the ocean.
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. Maybe not keep him young. But Coach Bill Belichick.
Keeps winning.
People don't realize Coach Bill Belichick, how he started out going. Now, he got to where he really knew defense, but he was a special teams coach. So I said, why not Coach Rizzi? I think now he might have to go like 7-1 and to go in a run. I mean, to say you're going to go undefeated, yeah. I mean, you play them one game at a time. You play Cleveland, you have a bye week, then you play the Rams. And you wait and see what's going to happen. Then you pull off an upset or two somewhere in there. But it's not like, you know, you're playing like the whole month. Okay, we play in the Lions. Then we play in the Chiefs. Or we play in the Ravens. Or whoever you might perceive is amongst the elite right now, whether that be the Packers. Are we going to play the Packers? I don't know. Think about the odds against us when it's freaking cold in December, and it's a Monday night game.
Hey, they did it in Cleveland. Maybe they could do it in Green Bay.
No, that's what I'm saying. But look what Green Bay, they perceived as maybe one of the best in the NFC. So I'm saying that all could be easy. But it's not like, oh, yeah, we got a fighting chance on paper, like the Giants, the Raiders, the Browns. Come on. They might say, well, the Saints aren't good. Well, they're not good either. So if you're going to keep it in perspective, then showing you that is the NFL. Look what the Panthers did to the Giants. All of a sudden, Germany's new team is the Carolina Panthers. Oh, we love coming to Germany. You know, now they've won two games in a row. And that might have been one of Bryce's best games. You look at the NFC South. It's a lot about confidence. You know, you play, can you make plays, then you go forward. But I'm telling you what, you win. And then you have a little pep in your step more when you go to practice.
Absolutely.
And then everybody's feeling better in the locker room. And you know what Deuce said? And what Coach Rizzi says? You can't rest on your laurels. You know why you got there and had a chance? So light a fire. You got to have a fire in the belly. You got to work your ass off. You got to work hard. Ain't nothing come easy. It's like pros versus pros. Who's going to outwork the other one? Now the ball bounces you away? I mean, I don't know. Usually when we play Koo, their Korean kicker, he don't miss nothing. Well, today he missed everything. stuff. But we've had some bad luck in the past. Remember double doink in England against the Vikings? So yeah, I mean, it's so close whether you win or lose. That's why I say give me an ugly win anytime. Even though you say, oh, the Falcons are going to look back. Man, we did this, we did that, but we didn't come out on top.
We could say that last game against the Panthers. We won just about every statistical category.
And we lost. No, just win. Al Davis, that might be the greatest quote ever.
Just win, baby.
On every football player or football-loving individual, they should have on their grave. Now, obviously, what your beliefs is different. But just win, baby. Just win. You can be a winner in life, on and off the field. You do whatever. You have to win. And you just feel so much better about yourself when you win than when you lose. But the one thing when you do lose, you know, and the Saints did not do this, you got to give Coach Rizzi a lot of credit. They didn't feel sorry for themselves. Because if you feel sorry for yourself, you're not going to last. You're not going to play. They're going to get somebody else. And then you're going to be – and then no other team might not want you because of your attitude. And then you – I don't know, you're in sales or something or whatever. Then you got to be motivated even to do that. So, no, you're constantly being evaluated. And, again, so what? Well, we beat Atlanta. Now you got to go beat the Browns. You got to put it – you know, the defense, they say, man, we're going to put it to Jameis Winston. You don't think they know Jameis Winston? They practice enough against Jameis Winston. They know what he likes to do.
Jabu.
Yeah, we got to take advantage of beating the Browns.
Taking a break, the Saints a 20-17 victory over the Falcons. A winning Ciroc Point After. We'll be back with right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Checking out our Oakwin Hart Jewelers talking text line. First on the text side, Cajun Cannon. Bobby, wanting the Saints to benefit in the draft is not being a disloyal fan. It's tough love. It's like spanking your kids. You don't want to do it, but it's necessary to correct bad actions. That's from 3408.
Well, so you want the players on the team to have your attitude? Oh, well, then we're going to keep losing so we get a better draft pick. You know what? They won't have a job. That's why the players will never have that attitude. You got to win and compete and be a pro because you're constantly being evaluated. The big guy in the sky don't lie. You hear me say it all the time. So not only the Saints are looking at you, but all the other teams. So you want to last? You got to fight. They got to fight against the Browns and win.
And the players are not thinking about draft picks, except what if that guy comes to replace me?
Exactly. And then you look at like, you know, he had his ups and downs today. Alante Taylor. You know what? Are you going to step up, Alante Taylor? You are a good young cornerback. Because guess what right now? You're the man.
Right.
Not Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid's out. And he's the, you have more seniority over Kool-Aid.
Adebo's hurt.
Because you know why? Adebo broke his leg, his femur.
Lattimore gone.
And Lattimore's gone. So you're the man, Alante Taylor. And look, he ended up having 9 tackles, 7 unassisted. But, you know, they still pick it on him. Sometimes he had outstanding coverage, but Kirk Cousins was just accurate with the football. But you know who else is being evaluated? And he's going to fight. Number 0, Ugo Amadi.
Ugo.
Remember how he provided the death? He wasn't even starting. He's kind of just, okay, how can you contribute on special teams? All of a sudden, he's a safety that can't play in the nickel because Alante Taylor was that nickel corner. But then we got to put him on the outside corner. So Ugo Amadi, now you on the inside. What, he's going to be scared and he ain't going to fight and try and win? Then he won't last in the NFL, won't have an NFL lifestyle. So that's why a lot of times the fans don't understand as players that they're constantly being held accountable. Now, if you're so talented, you get more chances, whether that's fair or not. Look at Kendre Miller. Like, what the hell have you done? Look what we've invested in you. You look at Jamal Williams. Now, here's a veteran we brought over from the Lions. Okay, what are you doing? You know who contributed today? And he's fighting his ass off. Is Jordan Mims. Okay, I'm looking at Jordan Mims. He had 2 carries, but he averaged 5 yards a carry. He had 1 run for like 9 yards. And he also caught a pass. So he's fighting his ass off from Fresno State. Man, I want to make it. I just don't want to be on the practice squad. I want to be on an active roster. So that's why sometimes the fans say, oh, the team needs to tank. That's good for the fans. If they want to think that way.
I get it, but this isn't a video game.
Exactly. It's not... like we're tanking for Tua. Remember that old saying, I don't know, we're going to tank for Tua.
Yeah.
Who knows? Tua might not even be able to play long term when you get knocked out. Football's a violent sport. You get hit in the head too much. Who knows? Look on number 1 draft pick. Okay, Chris Olave. I hope Chris Olave can bounce back. We don't know how he's going to recover from concussions. Now they just don't throw you out there, or the majority of the time they don't. They make you miss at least a month or 6 weeks, and then you move on. So that's why you got to live in the now. You got to win now. And just because you have, let's say, a top 5 pick, you still got to pick the right player. With Carolina, they sold on, they picked the right player with Little Bryce. I mean, look where he was picked. And look what Carolina gave up. Did that work out? It's not an exact science when you look at the draft. So when I hear fans say, okay, we got to play for,
Shedeur Sanders,
a better draft pick. Man, Deion don't want him coming here. Deion wants to go to Dallas or something. And then I don't know. You might say, well, Bobby,
the Giants,
bigger market,
right?
So you might say, well, Bobby, he didn't control that. I don't know. I remember a couple of times I played with John Elway. He got drafted by the Colts. I'm not going there. You know, I had a chance to maybe go to the Yankees in baseball from Stanford. And all of a sudden, he's Denver Broncos. Oh, right here in our backyard. Remember Eli Manning?
Right.
I don't know. Why wouldn't you want to live in San Diego? San Diego Chargers drafted him. Oh, no, we're not going there.
Well, no piece of that organization.
Went to the big market, went to the Giants in New York, won a couple of Super Bowls. So, yeah, so that's why you think, okay, I want to draft this quarterback or that quarterback. Now, you know who would have came here if Andy Reid wouldn't have jumped? It's Pat Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes would have been a Saint if Andy Reid and the Chiefs don't jump.
Sure, to be with Sean, too.
And then we took Lattimore. But a lot of times, you in the top five, pick him or Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward's very talented out of Miami. But to me, he's a little too undisciplined at times. I mean, I don't think he's on the level of Jayden Daniels. Now you might say, well, who is? I mean, all of a sudden, then we think Caleb Williams was a can't-miss quarterback with the Bears. I watch a couple of highlights. The guy's wide open. Why are you throwing it in the ground? And the rush ain't even there.
Must have been the nail polish.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Why are you throwing it in the ground? You the great Caleb Williams. So that's why we think, you think a draft pick is going to fix everything? No. How about the team coming together? And Darren Rizzi, hopefully he could do that with the Saints, have them come together and have a strong finish.
Feeling good after a Saints get down and beat the Atlanta Falcons. Caesar Superdome 20-17. Losing skid over. Time to start that win streak. We'll be back with more of the Ciroc Point after, right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Back here on the Ciroc Point after, the day after the Saints score a touchdown, get free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. Saints, a 20-7 victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Does not get old to say it. Stephen Monterey on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. You are up next here on the Ciroc Point after. What you got, Steve?
I just wanted to say it's time to extend Rizzi, make him the head coach for at least the next year until our salary cap is under control. And the thing I love the most is he knew how to put pressure on the other team. He didn't put pressure on his own team in a negative way. That's what we've been seeing for 2.5 years. We're put in the worst situations. This guy put the Falcons in the worst situation, and that's what I really loved.
Well, I think Coach Rizzi is a good leader of men, and I think the players do respond to him, and they're just not. That's not just coach talk. I think that's why we got to let this thing play out. And see what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know if Coach Rizzi is going to be the guy. But if he's not a head coach, you know what? Until the day he wants to retire, he'll be coaching in the National Football League as somebody's special teams coach. Let's say they got a new coach that come in here. He'll probably say, oh, Coach Rizzi, I want to keep you. Or if they're intimidated, they might not want. But he'll land on his feet. He's established himself where he's that well-respected. You know, when you all of a sudden have a lot of skins on the wall and your teams or units are ranked in the top five, everybody notices that. And you know what he's dealing with, offensive players? He's dealing with defensive players? Because the one thing on every team I've ever been on, everyone knows the special teams coach. You might BS with him in a locker room, or they might want you to contribute. I remember I was on the Falcons, and Jerry Glanville made every player go to the special teams meeting. And Bobby April. You know Bobby April here from Chalmette.
Right.
Well-respected NFL coach. Look how long he lasted in the NFL. If you well-respect, you want to talk about a great life. Now you got to get things done, and you got to be productive. So when I look at Coach Rizzi, he's like the approach, and we talking with Charlie and you, Steve, and all. He's like, oh, why not me? Here's my opportunity maybe to be a head coach in the National Football League. Then that one time, John Harbaugh say that before he became the Ravens head coach, Marv Levy, Belichick, whoever it might be. So that's why when you say, they're going to move on from Steve Rivers. No, you got to let itself. Now, Steve, you can't give him the Steve Amato, you can't give him the job now. No, it's a process. Okay, what are you doing against the Browns? It's a continuous process. You got to let this thing play out, and then you constantly evaluate it. What route are you going to go? Like one of the greatest flavors right now is because, look at the success Dan Campbell's having with the Lions, right?
Correct.
Okay, who has kind of like a bite their kneecap mentality? He's a Belichick, not necessarily Belichick coaches always work out under that coaching tree, but who played and players respect him? Who, if you got in a barroom fight or something, it's a fist fight. Now, I'm just saying, no one has no guns. It's a fight. Coach Vrabel.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with that dude for sure.
No, I mean, he's like kind of like Dan Campbell. So he had the Tennessee Titans, number one seed in the AFC. Now, they didn't win and didn't take advantage, maybe because of Ryan Tannehill, but they still got there. So that's why he's going to land on his feet. So we got to look how this all going to play out. So, Steve, just wait. Coach Rizzi's going to have an opportunity, and then we see what's going to happen. But all I know is the players, and there's a lot of skins on the wall. And when I look at this, and Steve, I have to get this because this is significant. Because not only the Louisiana influence and New Orleans influence, what they said about Coach Rizzi.
Mm-hmm.
Honey Badger and Foster Morrow. I said this in the pregame. This is Honey Badger. I think Riz is the type of coach and the type of leader and the type of man that really can command the room. I tell you, as a head coach, no matter where you're at, north, south, east, west, you got to command the room. You can't be sheepish. You have to say, no, like General Patton or Napoleon.
Right, when that guy steps in, you're like, oh, that's the one that's in charge.
Exactly. It's not like, we all going to get along and just hang out. No, whether these young people can hang or not, you got to convince them that you're doing the right thing, kind of like my way or the highway. Look, you got to be an alpha. You got to be an alpha dog. Coach Mara, a lot of people might not have liked him on the team. I was talking with Pat Swilling. I think Pat Swilling and Coach Mara was cussing at each other every other day. You know, it could have been reverse psychology to motivate. I'm going to show the coach.
Right.
You know, but how do you motivate? But you got to have an alpha dog, Sean Payton. Can you handle it? You can't be sheepish. You have to be tough. But look at Honey Badger. He says, the type of coach, type of leader, type of man that would really command the room. I think he knows what buttons to push to motivate guys. Some guys you got to get on them. Some of them you have to encourage to get the best out of them. This is what I like. I'm maybe old school about this. He's a straight shooter, and I think you need that sometimes. Guys need to be called out sometimes. He'll call out Honey Badger, and Honey Badger's not going to say, man, I'm a veteran. You can't be talking to me that way. You got to finish the tackle. You know what they're saying about you? Every game you're missing at least a couple of tackles. You're right there. Make the play. And you know what Honey Badger will say? You're right, coach.
Yeah.
You're right. That's what I got to do. But look, he keeps fighting, and he comes up with a crucial interception at the end.
You mean he's not going, oh, coach yelled at me. I'm going to tell my wife and kids.
Yeah, amen, amen. So you know what I'm saying. When I hear him say that, and that needs to be called out sometimes, And Riz, like you said, is going to provide us that sense of reality. No, this is a reality check. Look where we're at. You know what? Since I took over, you know who we are? We want to know. I know it didn't work out. We want to know. Now we got Cleveland's coming to town. We're trying to be 2-0. And we're going to go from there. Like Foster Moreau said, it's a different perspective, you know, offense, defense, and all that. He is an unbelievable leader of men. There is something about him and the way that he coaches, the way he leads, the way that he demands execution from his players. And I told you this too, from an outsider, like I look at it, okay, when you look at the Saints situation before the Falcons game, you might have been disheartened, discouraged, etc. You know what Coach Rizzi said? Now, I love this. It's not a war, but it's kind of like war. Remember I told you this is controlled violence. It's not life or death. But Coach Rizzi said it best. In his manual, The Art of War, Sun Tzu, recognize that in the midst of chaos, there's also an opportunity. Look, the crap's hitting the fan. What are we going to do? There's still an opportunity there.
I'll just go home.
New Orleans capitalized on their opportunity when they hired Sean Payton, and then they signed Drew Brees during post-Hurricane Katrina. Look at the chaos in 2006. Now we have a similar opportunity that exists this go-around. Now it's different, but it's still chaos. What you could do with that opportunity?
You can join the chaos here on the Ciroc Point After, 504-260-1870. We are taking a break, but we'll be right back, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are having a ball here on the Ciroc Point After the Saints snapped a 7-game losing skid. It is over, done with, no more. Darren Rizzi's coaching debut, they get a 20-17 victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Cajun Cannon, it's 504-260-1870, by the way, folks. From 5259, do you think if Rizzi doesn't work out that the team would go after Bill Belichick?
They would do the interview process. I don't know if Mickey and the organization would want to give him that much power. You know, he interviewed for the Falcons job.
Right.
And I thought he might get that Atlanta job, but he wanted too much power. Coach Belichick might have to humble himself, and because he's an outstanding coach, but not too much like a GM. You know, it's too much on your plate. Now, he might want his own people to run the team as far as a GM. But he didn't exactly work magic with the draft and the Patriots.
Definitely not.
And then, you know what I respect, though? You know why I respect Tom Brady so much? Look at the crap he caught from Bill Belichick. Tom Brady always keep the great Tom Brady, did he ever like, well, I don't know. Coach Belichick's being mean to him. I mean, being mean to me. And you know why? You know why? I'm telling you, a lot of times, when you see a coach talk to the quarterback. Now, it might be in front of the team, and then you might have, behind the scenes, how you talk to him in the office. You know what? That gets all the other players' attention. Damn. If he's on Tom Brady.
He's going to jump him, right?
If he's on Tom Brady like that, that's why I think that consistency of the Patriots in the 21st century. Now, it got a little old with Tom Brady, and he's probably thinking, okay, I got enough skins in the wall. Screw Belichick. I'm going to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you know what? He won a damn Super Bowl. So that's why Tom Brady, I mean, I'm like, oh, you got to give him a lot of props.
Not just the system quarterback.
Exactly. Not just the system. Oh, and it shows you how much. And I think this is fair because it takes players. I think players in general make great coaches. I think it's a combination like Sean Payton, Drew Brees, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. But my opinion, I think Tom Brady made more Bill Belichick, and Drew Brees made more Sean Payton.
Preach.
Now, Sean Payton, what if all of a sudden he has a young guy like Bo Nix in Denver, all of a sudden becomes relevant? But can they truly take over in the AFC West against Kansas City? Well, they had a chance today, so close but so far. Then you tell me, when you know it, the damn Chiefs won again. Why? Freakish
Will
thing.
Lutz lining up for a game-winning field goal.
And he misses.
Blocked.
Blocked.
Blocked, yeah.
Okay, blocked.
Kansas City, once again, finding ways to win.
If it's not blocked, Sean Payton and the Broncos probably win. Now, I think it might be from a confidence standpoint. Sean Payton's building up Bo Nix. oh, no, he's the next Drew Brees. I'm like, what?
Relax.
Yeah, slow your roll. He got to do something first. But I think it's kind of psychologically trying to, like, whoa, look, Sean Payton really believes in me.
Right.
And I'm going to go ahead and do it. Because you want to talk about a quarterback maturing and growing, that's why it's not an exact science. Is that even the same person? Bo Nix at Auburn compared to Bo Nix with the Oregon Ducks? And then now where he's at and considering how he's getting better and better, he couldn't be in a better situation.
He had a good day today, 22 of 30, 215, two touchdowns, no interceptions.
And in our game, and I was like saying, Drew Brees has never been that inaccurate.
The beginning was like, what is going on?
There was four or five passes, the receivers will, that shows you.
Where is he throwing?
And the Broncos waxed us. but you look at that game, it was like, that could have been a lot worse. Bo Nix missed four or five guys, like, wide open. They had two guys that were open, and he threw it in between them. Okay, how about you hit one of them? You know, so that's why I think Sean Payton will eventually have success. And that Walmart money, you know, they'll be happy to have Sean Payton as the coach. And I think Bill Belichick will resurface. I don't know where, like six, seven, eight coaches get fired every year. So you look at Vrabel, who's going to be that guy? And I can tell you what, you let Darren Rizzi keep winning, Coach Rizzi's in that mix. He's
why,
in the
like
mix.
Like you said, why not me?
Because you know what? It doesn't matter if you're an offense, defense, or special teams coach. Are you a leader of men?
Amen.
Are you a leader of men? Coach Rizzi, I believe, is one of those individuals that are he is a leader of men. You know why? Okay, as we go to the break, I hear the music. You know why? And I think he's done outstanding with the Lions. You know why Aaron Glenn, who's done an outstanding job, defensive back coach with the Saints, defensive coordinator with the Lions, you know why he won't be the Saints coach? Because it's just basically the same scheme as Dennis Allen. And we would want to go, if we're going to change coaches, I think we want to go more on the offensive route. You know, this day and age, you got to hire an offensive coach. And Coach Kubiak in office, he don't have enough skins in the wall. No, he needs to, like, win something as a coordinator. And that's why I think Coach Rizzi's still in the hunt.
Yeah.
But when I look, what about Aaron Glenn? Is that the Saints connection, all that? No, I just don't think, because I think they go more to offensive route than a defensive route. And simply because that's 2.0
Dennis Allen.
Dennis Allen.
Right.
Exactly.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. You can sound off 504-260-1870 after a Saints victory. We'll be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on a winning edition of the Ciroc Point After. Saints 20, the Falcons 17. We're going to pause 10 seconds. First, let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Can't wait to hear from all you Hoodats. First up right now, going to Hollywood in Thibodeau. How you feeling today, Hollywood?
Hey, Steve. Hey, Bob. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood. How you physically doing? You doing better? Are you able to go back to work, or how you feeling?
Yeah, I'm back at Fuchsia right now, and thank y'all for asking. I'm about 95% here. I just got to be on a severe diet, and it's killing me that way. But I'm
feeling
better.
Well, no, you'll probably lose some weight, and you're going to live longer. So that's a good thing, Hollywood. Come on. If you're 95%, man, you're better than me. I wish I'd be hovering around 100%. No, you're doing all right. I thought you might tell me something. I don't know, Bobby. I'm hanging in there. But, no, you're 95%. Right. You're all right, Hollywood.
Yeah. Hey, Bobby, feels good to get a win after seven miserable weeks, huh?
Oh, without a doubt. And the team, I thought everybody came to play. I thought the team came to play. The fans came to play. That's one of the most loudest, as far as a fan's response, because I was like, man, we got to beat Atlanta, because all of a sudden fans get disgruntled and they don't show up. Like, Cleveland's coming to town, and then it's almost like a protest. I got tickets, I'm going to eat them. Or I'm going to donate it to charity, I'm not going, or then who's showing up? And that's why I think Ms. Gale and Dennis Lausch and all, they had to do something. You know, you have to look at the numbers. And what are you doing in sales? What are you doing? It's not so much this season. This season is fine. You have to look at the future. You got to give the fans hope. Well, right now you have this kind of outing. The fans have hope, and they're loud and proud. And you beat a rival, you beat Atlanta. I mean, come on. That was a very entertaining game. From the get-go, you had chunk plays. All of a sudden, you have a big receiver, Valdez Scantling. What do you think of him, Hollywood? He was hitting and getting it. Now, I'm telling you, the reason why he's on our team, because at times he can be inconsistent, and you might say, catch the damn ball. Because he can run. He can run like a deer, and he's big. But if he's catching the ball consistently, and you know what? You might say, well, you know, how you adjust a long ball. But look at that touchdown pass he had on the goal line. That was just a two-yard touchdown catch, and it was third and goal. But look at the separation he had on that. I'm telling you, just by Valdez Scantling what he did on that, that's going to go a long way. Now, you know, he don't need to rest in his laurels. You want a double-digit career, and, you know, when you're hovering around 6, 7, 8 years, whatever, you got to keep producing. But I guarantee you, this is the kind of game that all of a sudden I'm in a new uniform. I'm in a Saints uniform going against their rival. Let me tell you what I did against the Atlanta Falcons. I had 3 targets, 3 catches for 109 yards. You know what? And I'm going to tell you this. I had those kind of games. You know who did that for me? Eric Martin. Now, Eric Martin couldn't run no Eric Martin ran a 4.84, not no 4.37 or 4.440. He was like 4.8, but you know, he was big and strong. He was big. He was strong. Valdez Scantling's like 6'4". So you get that yak, yards after the catch. He don't let his defensive backs bully him. You know, a lot of times a little receiver, you might, Brandon Cooks, whoever we might have here, you might want to juke him and make him mix and miss. But they get their hands on you, and then it's time to throw, and you can't even get in your route. So I'm just telling you, in the future, I'm not in charge of the Saints scouting department, and I love Chris Olave. Chris Olave, I think, is good to very good to good, somewhere in that range. But all I know is I look at how he contributed. And this is since post-Katrina. Marcus Colston, the quiet storm. Now, look, whether you like or hate Michael Thomas, Michael Thomas was the NFL Offensive Player of the Year. They didn't give him that award because they like him, because that's what he achieved. And then he got paid, and then he excelled that season. But after that, he was like, I don't know. And then he's disgruntled, whatever. I don't know. I got $50 million in my pocket, whatever. And then you go about your business. All I know is when I look at Michael Thomas and where he's at, and he's throwing Derek Carr under the bus, whatever. Derek Carr is a big man. I look how he took the high road with Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas, okay, if Michael Thomas was playing on another team and kicking ass, that's petty. Why would you even, like, mess with Derek Carr? You know, Chris Olave. He might have given, that was a high throw with Chris Olave against Carolina. And that was a high throw, not an accurate throw by Derek Carr. He's just coming back. And so that could maybe cause Chris Olave to take an unwarranted shot or a hit. Well, Michael Thomas never had that kind of hit. Derek Carr never threw him that bad of a pass. So Michael Thomas, if you weren't so disruptive, you'd be more a team player. You know what? You don't think the Chiefs would have maybe tried to get you instead of going after D-Hop or maybe you and D-Hop? Or whatever. Why are you not on an NFL team? Do you want too much money?
Like a Buffalo, they traded for Amari Cooper.
Yeah, are you over valuing yourself? No, you know what? You're going to be like, I can't think of his name now. Who's the quarterback from the 49ers? The national anthem and all that.
Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, Colin Kaepernick. Do you want to be the modern-day version of Colin Kaepernick? Unless I get the deal I want, I ain't playing. Well, you know what's going to happen? The NFL is going to say, well, you ain't freaking playing.
All right, you're not playing,
you ain't playing. You can go do what you want to do.
Oh, but Bobby, he's been blackballed.
No, he ain't been blackballed. You can't be too greedy. he ain't been blackballed. Maybe you don't want to play for what they want to pay you. But you ain't been blackballed. That's real, whether people want to accept that or not. That's factual. And that's why when I look at Michael Thomas, if he really wants to play, and I love football, I'm going to play for the NFL minimum. He has enough skins in the wall in years. still can make $1 million. What, to play a kid's sport with you, and you're getting paid for it? Oh, man, I'm worth $10, $11 million. What? You ain't been available. Why am I pay you all that?
Check yourself, like
yeah,
you say.
Check yourself. Come on, check yourself. Come on. Be humble. Be humble. Just go play. Then you could be rewarded and do something.
Folks, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world after today's game. Current donations now up to $22,450. Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. We'll be back with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, welcome back to the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly and also celebrate life today. Tomorrow, we got a black and gold victory, so that means victory Monday. Got a lot better feeling starting the work week.
Finally,
for sure.
Finally a victory.
September 15th, Cajun Cannon, to those Dallas Cowboys who are seeing losing to the Eagles right now, 14-6.
This is a great day for the Houdan Nation. You come away with a win. And I'll say, like, fly, Eagles, fly. And
well,
I go,
still got plenty of time there, though.
G-L-E, Eagles. No, I hold the Eagles. It's always a great day in America when the Saints win and the Cowgirls lose.
Also a benefit, too. Plus today, I should say, San Francisco taking down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that was a final of 23-20 that the Niners end up taking down the Bucs in Tampa Bay.
You know, Steve, I'll be interested to see if you can enlighten me. What did Baker Mayfield do? Because Mayfield's been hanging in there, considering when the two top weapons have been out.
18-29 passing, 116 yards, a touchdown.
Oh, no, he didn't do as good as he's done in the previous games. So
then he mentioned going into this matchup, he considered this a must-win because now they've dropped four in a row and facing an NFC South opponent like the Niners, he's like, we have to win this game at home.
No, they've been snake bit with injuries, but not more than the Saints. You know, you have to have luck with injuries. But you know what's interesting? Because Atlanta could be like, come on, we can't choke this away. We have a four-game lead. Now, this is before the Saints game. Now it's a three-game lead. And you look at mathematically how many games you have left to play now. We 1-1 against Atlanta. So Atlanta still has to play Tampa Bay again. Obviously, and then Carolina, but then all of a sudden Carolina wins two in a row. It's the NFL. It's pros versus pros. So
big in today up for the Saints. It was Atlanta's first loss in the division this season.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, human nature. You get a little full of yourself, and that's why I'm telling you. Next year, I don't know what's going to happen. I think we're going to split against Atlanta. The next year after that, I think we're going to split with Atlanta. You know, I think what I always view when I look at whether it is Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Carolina Panthers, Atlanta Falcons, and you want to win your division. Now, obviously, you'd want to go 6-0. To me, that's it can happen every now and then you go 5-1. But can you consistently go 4-2?
That was the good old days of going like 13 wins when we were sweeping the division.
But no, you have to be where – but that's an anomaly.
Right, exactly.
No, you have to be – when I say 4-2 – you got to find the weakest team in the division. You sweep them.
Take them out, right.
You sweep them and you split, whether it be – now, I thought this year, okay, if we're going to do anything, you split with Atlanta, you split with Tampa Bay, and then you sweep Carolina. Now, obviously, we didn't sweep Carolina, and then you know how we're going to close out the season? Tampa Bay. And
that's crazy to think that's our last NFC South game.
Last game of the
we're done now.
But yes, not till the end of the season is the last NFC South game. But the NFL, King, I think they do it right where those games can be meaningful whether you in or you're out in the postseason. But, you know, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot, so to speak, and then kind of behind the eight ball just trying to just compete.
So, right, we got the Riz now.
We got the Riz, that's right. It's not the red ass, it's the Riz. unless I, how can you not love that guy? I'm telling you, you talk about, a good Dennis Allen's a good dude, but
he's another one you talked about, you know, popping up, resurfacing somewhere. I think someone too that'll be a defensive coordinator in this league.
Well, but it might be okay. Everybody has a wheelhouse.
Right.
Before you're a coordinator, what's your position group?
DBs.
Dennis Allen, when he won the Super Bowl, was defensive backs.
Yeah.
So I can tell you right now, you got 32.
Start from the beginning again?
No, you might. You might have a chance where, like Vic Fangio, he goes from the Miami Dolphins to Philadelphia Eagles to be a defensive coordinator from a head coach. No, you might be able to be a DC, a defensive coordinator, but you might have to go back to your position group, then excel, then you become a defensive coordinator.
Gotcha, yeah.
So, no, but you have a job. Now you have to move. You might have, but if you don't have the little bitty kids, it's not that bad. You know, your kids move on and all, then you just go because you love football and you have that opportunity. So I'm not worried about Dennis Allen. He's got a land on his feet.
Cajun Cannon, go to back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. We got James on the line, always spicy. What you got for us today, James?
Listen, pass this to Derek, right? Derek Carr is 18-5 when he runs the ball five times or more. You ain't going to get this no place else. Google that. Derek Carr is 18-5. I'm going to say it again. He is 18-5 when he runs the ball five times or more.
He only ran four times today. He was four attempts for 17 yards. So where does the five come in?
I'm just saying, when he runs the ball five times or more, he's 18-5.
You got to run at least five times. That's what I would say. We play the Browns. Derek Carr, scramble five times at least. Whether you get 1 or 2 yards, but run the ball five times.
Yeah, here's the other thing, guys. Third and one. You remember last season, we had the defensive tackle play fullback.
Yeah, Colin
and
Saunders.
We had Taysom in it. Yeah. I don't think there's a team on our schedule that will be able to stop Taysom with that big fullback on a third and one. I mean, we need to have a little bit more there. I'm gonna leave it with the Pelicans. Giannis is not coming back to the Bucks next season. He's 29. I would love to see a trade for Zion.
So Zion go to Milwaukee, and we get the Greek Freak.
We get the Greek Freak. Now the Greek Freak is 29.
Right.
And Zion is like my son's age, so they need to give us a pick for him. You know what I mean? We need to get a pick for him, but, I mean, Zion's garbage. One of you said the word anomaly. That's exactly what he is. He's not a basketball player like the guy that wants to get paid, the slim guy, whatever.
Brandon Ingram.
Ingram's a basketball player, right?
How do we get into Pelicans talk on the point after here?
No, he's just like, but James is like, it's all owned by Ms. Gale. I mean, she can't hate on it. The Pelican Saints, it's all the same ownership. So, no, I'm frustrated too right now with the Pelicans. Zion's gotten paid and got so much prestige. When the hell has he done? And I ain't hating on Zion, but what has he done? All I know is the Greek Freak, like James says, didn't he win a championship?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. He brought a championship to Milwaukee. Wouldn't we love a championship in New Orleans? NBA championship. I want to have another damn parade. We already had a Super Bowl football parade. I want a basketball parade. How about that? NBA championship.
Yeah, but our luck of late, Giannis would come here and then
and be hurt. And
he'd
be
have
hurt?
A soft tissue injury.
Damn. I don't know. Steve, I don't know. You might be right.
We're going to take a break here on the Ciroc Point after talking Saints football after a win over the Atlanta Falcons 20-17, snapping that 7-game skid, making Monday a little bit better for everybody. We'll be back right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Kamara, the deep back. Play action. But gets it on the pass and a screen, trying to get a blocker in front. And he gets a, does it himself. 35-30. Kamara, 25-20. Finally, Caden Ellis will bring him down. What a phenomenal job by Kamara. Made the catch. And he knew he could see Cesar Ruiz. And he was trying to figure out a way, how do I get him to be a blocker?
Well, I got
to
outrun.
Right.
Just looking at the Rouse's market, I just got to outrun one guy. And if I can outrun and make him miss, then my help is there. And the help does come. And you can just see Alvin stop, start, stop, start.
Raising our glass, and it's time for our Ciroc Toast to the Saints. Pour yourself a glass of Ciroc Premium Vodka, and let's toast to Alvin Kamara for today's performance and also being part of now Black and Gold history.
Well, as the most rushing yardage in franchise history, you know, I can remember you passing the torch, Deuce right. McAllister to Mark Ingram. Now Mark Ingram to Alvin Kamara.
With Deuce on the call, so it all went together.
No, it's amazing. Listen, Alvin Kamara, when you think about how he came to the Saints, Alvin Kamara, you know, was playing with a Crimson Tide. Bobby, no, he wasn't. He went to Tennessee. No, he transferred to Tennessee. He was a Tennessee volunteer. Coach Payton went out to work out the quarterback, and he goes, who's that guy running the routes?
Funny how things work out, right?
Coach Payton noticed, then he got all of a sudden, hell with the quarterback. I'm intrigued with who this cat is. And it was Alvin Kamara. It might have been the astronaut guy.
Josh Dobbs, yeah.
I think, well, was it him maybe?
Correct, right.
No, and then all of a sudden, then you look at it, who's that guy? And it was Alvin Kamara. Now he's the all-time leading rusher in Saints history. What I like about Alvin Kamara, and the only guy that I think is better than him, but that's a small fraternity, is Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
And I'm talking about a complete back as far as rushing the football and a pass receiving running back. You're talking about a small fraternity. That is Christian McCaffrey, and that is Alvin Kamara. Now, when you look at complete backs, total yards from scrimmage. Like, I'm just looking at what every department lately this season. Derrick Henry. Now, Derrick Henry might run a screen and take it to the house, but I'm talking about running a truly option type route. I utilize Dalton Hilliard that way, you know, out of LSU, like running option man to man, depending on the leverage, whether you can break in or out. And then you can count on them to get open, even though the rush is there. Now, the one guy that's a big back. Again, I mentioned this early in the show, Saquon Barkley, where he's at. But you look at total yards from scrimmage, Alvin Kamara's right up there with, because, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey had to go to Germany. I don't know, my damn Achilles or something, trying to get right. No, why is the 49ers on the back end that McCaffrey is coming back and he's ready to contribute? You know, that's one of the reasons why we didn't practice against the 49ers in August because they were so beat up.
Yep.
And McCaffrey was one of those guys that were hurt. But what are you doing in the latter part of the season? Come November, December, are you available?
He had 39 yards rushing today, Bobby, and also 68 yards receiving.
Okay, so he's getting back into the swing of things.
First game back, right.
Getting back, and you don't think Brock Purdy wants him playing? Hell yeah, make me look good. But I just look at Alvin Kamara, how the complete back that he's been. And I don't think it was Christmas Eve. I think it was actually, was it Christmas Day when he scored 6 touchdowns against the Vikings?
What a game, right?
Remember that? And you know what's ironic? You know who was the head coach in that game for the Vikings? He's running the damn Cowgirls defense, Coach Zimmer.
Right.
He's running their defense. So I know he don't know how to stop Alvin Kamara. Look when we played the Cowgirls. I mean, Alvin Kamara's a thorn in his side because I think Alvin Kamara is on that level. And even though he's, again, I said this in the OTA's minicamp.
Right. He's 29 years old running back.
I said he's a young 29. I can see him hitting and getting it in the berth. And I'm going to say that next year. I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of months. If he's healthy, Alvin Kamara, he was young 29, he'll be a young 30-year-old. So Alvin Kamara, you can't look at, I think he's a special cat. How he trains and how he takes pride in his craft. That Alvin Kamara, even though he's 30 years old, he'll be like a young 30. And what does that mean, Bobby? I don't know. So he's 30, but he's really like 26. I'm not saying, just out of college getting ready to play in the NFL. But Alvin Kamara at 30 years old could still be like 26, 27. So he has a lot left in the tank. So I don't care who's the coach, whether it's Coach Rizzi, whoever it might be. Alvin Kamara is part of that plan. He's part of that plan. To me, the two most successful players on the Saints offense right now, one of them is going to come back. And I saw this. Saw him coming into the stadium, and that being Eric McCoy. Eric McCoy could start for every team. I've said this before, whether it be at center or guard, he'll start for every NFL team. Eric McCoy and Alvin Kamara will be a big part of Coach Rizzi or the next coach's plan come, I'm going to say, not only 2025, but also 2026.
Cajun Cannon, we're going to go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk in text line. For that, we'll check in now with Philip in New Orleans, wanting to talk about something he saw at the end of the game. What you got, Philip? Philip, you with us?
Philip, are you there? Oh, I don't.
All right, next we'll go on to JD in Central Louisiana. We'll check out JD. What you got?
Hey guys.
Hey, JD, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, but I have to tell, first let me give a shout-out to all the veterans. Because okay. We're off of work tomorrow, and as I've been waiting, I developed a drinking game. Every time you said Kamara, I took a sip.
I like so, it.
Well, hopefully you're not driving. Hopefully you're not driving.
Not driving. Now I'm trying to remember what the heck I called for.
Too many drinks.
No, that sounds like me. Like Steve, what was I talking about? I don't know.
Yes. With that being said, guys, let me ask you this: we have a 53-man roster of professional athletes. What is the impact of a coach and their philosophies? You could see the guys fighting harder today. It was just something. Was it because perhaps Coach Allen was more maybe of a pacifist? I don't know.
How important
is it?
Well, that's a good point, JD. I think it's a combination. It's like all of a sudden the coach gets fired.
A fire gets lit under everybody, too.
The coach gets fired. Hell, I might be next.
Right.
You better light a fire under you. You better look in the mirror. You know, who's the man in the mirror? And you got to challenge yourself. And then you can't be complacent. And I think a coach can inspire you. And, Coach Allen, Dennis Allen, is the NFL coach. But is Dennis Allen truly an alpha dog? I think Coach Rizzi would be more an alpha dog than Dennis Allen. Sean Payton's an alpha. You can't make something that they're not. The best offensive coach, quarterback coach I ever had was June Jones. He was too nice. But as far as knowledge and knowledgeable,
okay,
and what he coached me, it was like, I never had a better coach. But I mean, to me, he was too nice at times.
Kind of like a Sneaky Pete?
No, he wasn't that bad. Sneaky Pete didn't even want to look at Sneaky Pete was like wanted to sneak off all the time. But Sneaky Pete could be behind closed doors and set up a great game plan. And Sean Payton knows that he's a good soldier.
Right.
And can, okay, I want you to break this down and pay attention to detail, and he'd be unbelievable. You know who else? Vince Lombardi's grandson.
Joe Lombardi, right.
Joe Lombardi. Look at all the opportunities he had as offensive coordinator. They might think, he can work that Sean Payton magic. Not so much. No, he got to be under Sean Payton. So that's why everybody has to know their role. There's only so many alphas. And I'll tell you, Coach Rizzi, he's an alpha special teams coach. Now, can he be a head coach? We got to let this play out. Okay, what are we going to do against Cleveland? Now, you can't rest on your laurels. Hell, we won. What is our record now?
3-7.
Rest on your laurels.
Right.
What?
Nothing to gloat about.
Yeah. No, you got to go in. You know how you lost 6-7 in a row? Now you got to win 6-7 in a row. It's a game of streaks. What are you going to do? So that's why be a pro, whether you're a coach or a player. That's the challenges when you think about it that the players face. and what you have to accept.
We're going to streak on out to a break. We'll be right back with more of the Ciroc Point After, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. 20-17, the Saints a winner over the Atlanta Falcons, snapping that seven-game skid, done and over with. Black and gold now 3-7 on the season. I'll be looking to build on that next Sunday when they're hosting the Cleveland Browns. Going back to our Oakland Heart
and
Jewelers,
you know,
Cleveland text line.
And the Cleveland Browns are one of those teams, Steve, that has underachieved.
For sure.
All the money they've invested in Deshaun Watson, you know, they made the postseason last year. If I can recall, they lost to the Texans in the playoffs.
Right.
And they had one of the top defenses. They have definitely one of the top pass rushers.
Massage Watson could have get it done, though.
Yeah, but Myles Garrett, when you look at where they're at. Listen, they're pros. The Browns, are you ready to play? I like our chances because we're familiar with Jameis Winston about things he might try and do. And, you know, we've been talking about, who's running the offense, who's running the defense. And a different spin. They didn't look who's our defensive coordinator? We really didn't know what we were doing defensively. Now, you might get beat from a physical standpoint, but then Coach Woods seemed like he knows what he's doing. It ain't his first rodeo. He's been a defensive coordinator.
With the Browns.
With the Browns.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So that's what I look at. Everyone's playing for their livelihood. Whether you're an offensive coach, Kubiak, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, you got to burn the midnight oil. You got to put the game plan in. Coach Rizzi has different responsibilities now, so he knows he has a lot more on his plate besides just special teams. Obviously, he's going to want to dot the I's and cross the T's on special teams, but he has more responsibility being the head coach. He knows that. So that's why we're fine. Oh, all of a sudden we get rid of Dennis Allen, it's really going to fall apart. No. That's why the players, again, it kind of catches your attention when you go on a losing streak and all of a sudden Ms. Gale, gets the organization's attention. That's why sometimes it's not necessarily a bad thing depending on how the players respond. I think, if this is my opinion, I got no inside scoop on this, my opinion, I think if Mickey Loomis was truly in charge with all the decisions, this would not have happened. That he'd let the season play itself out, and then you make a decision after the season, and Dennis Allen's gone. Because when you think about it, when was the last time that we made a coaching change in the middle of the season? It was I want to say Dick Nolan.
Right, correct.
Man, what was that, 40-some years ago? When you think about that. What was that, 1980?
1980, right.
So that's why when I look at Ms. Gale.
44 years.
That shows you Ms. Gale's involved.
Wow, 44 years.
And Ms. Gale's involved. Dennis Lauscher's involved because he looks at the bottom line. He looks at that balance sheet. Okay, we got to get to keep the fans optimistic about their team. And the fans were optimistic today. They were loud and proud. That's why you had to win this type of game, because it's against Atlanta. And then you got, we play Cleveland every 4 years or whatever. You look how many times.
But brought the hope back today.
Hope, yes, it brought. It's all about hope. You got to have hope, whether it's your spiritual life, family life, physical life, whatever it is.
For sure.
You got to have hope whether you're living in Asheville, North Carolina. You just got devastated by a hurricane. And you think, damn, a hurricane? I'm up in the damn mountains. Why am I worried about a hurricane? You look at the flash flood, the same thing with Katrina. All of a sudden, you're in California. Oh, man, the weather's awesome. Damn, look at this fire that's roaring down the Santa Ana winds and they're coming at me. No, you can't necessarily avoid adversity or natural disaster. So
got to fight it.
The Saints had a natural disaster how this season started, considering after we were 2-0 and then what occurred. Okay, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond to adversity? So that's why when I look at it right now, Steve and Charlie, that's why you have to look at like history and what's occurred. That Sun Tzu, Sun Tzu, The Art of War, recognized that in the midst of chaos, you're going to constantly have chaos, there's also an opportunity. An opportunity as an individual, if you prosperous, that you can help another individual.
Yeah.
That always helps your community. Or how are you going to pull up your boots? How are you going to pull up your bootstraps and you're going to get going?
Just like this city after Katrina, after chaos.
Yeah, and not go lay in the gutter and then like, oh, woe was me and all that. No, how are you going to respond and take advantage of an opportunity when you're dealing with chaos like Sean Payton and Drew Brees did in 2006 post-Katrina? Look how much hope that gave the city of New Orleans and the whole Gulf South, the Gulf Coast.
And how it carried
everyone. I'm going to tell you, that to me, truly, the Saints, because of Drew Brees and Sean Payton, now some people might disagree with me about this, but they truly became the Gulf South, the Gulf Coast Saints. There's always been Saints and fans in the Florida Panhandle and Mobile, Jackson and all that. But I look at the Gulf South, Gulf Coast, you know why? Because, damn, we won a damn Super Bowl. Hell yeah, I'm a Saints fan. I ain't worried about the Auburn Tigers. I ain't Florida State Seminoles, no matter where I live. My NFL team's the freaking Saints. Who that nation?
And a good day to be a Saint, taking down the Atlanta Falcons 20-17.
And another great day because the Eagles keep scoring against the Cowgirls.
And the Cowgirls are losing. We're going to take a break here on the Ciroc Point After and be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. 28-6. Who dat? Back here on the Ciroc Point After, celebrate life responsibly. Now, when you do have a victory, not everything goes your way, or it's not all rainbows and sunshine. So what's bugging Bobby about today's game? Brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. After this 20-17 victory, Cajun Cannon, what's bugging you about today's game?
Well, you know, we lost seven games in a row. You will not win seven games in a row if you do this. The percentages will keep up with you.
Hit me.
Can you run the ball and stop the run? Look at the efficiency. Okay, when you look at it, we ran 27 times, which is, high 20s, low 30s. We had 96 yards. We averaged 3.6. Now, this is not good. Now, I wish this was flip. Now, I would say if this was flip, we might win seven games in a row if you do this. Atlanta had 32 rushing attempts, 181 yards, 5.7 yards per carry. So I can tell you right now, you're running in the high 20s, low 30s. If we were averaging 5.5 yards a carry and we're only giving up 3.5, saying, we could go on a run.
We like that, right.
But that's what's bugging me because, like I said, it's an ugly win, but we won. But you're not going on a winning streak, a truly winning streak that you have confidence in. So Coach Rizzi's going to look at this. They know that. We still have to light a fire and play better against the run. Now, Eric McCoy's going to be coming back, our quarterback offensive line, whether it's the Cleveland game or after the bye week against the Rams. That'll help our running game. But we have to gel and not have all of a sudden we have a good play. And then, we got a damn penalty or something. You know, all those things matter. But all I know is we can go on a positive streak if we average in 5.5 yards a run and only giving up 3.5.
Can't be flipped, right?
Where today that was not the case. So that's what was bugging me.
There were just too many times, obviously we saw, especially when you're atop the dome, the view you get from the press box, those lanes that look so wide open.
You have to look at, you can't get a running back going downhill and before they have contact, they already got 3 yards. What? No, that's when you get the likes of Bijan Robinson, like the best back, Saquon Barkley. We don't even play Derrick Henry in the Ravens at all, but
thank goodness.
I look at Bijan Robinson, he had that long gain of 37, had a couple of touchdowns. Algier, who came into this game, 4 games against the Saints, averaging 7 yards a carry.
At least we held him in check from his average against us.
No, he got 5.5. Right. That still ain't good.
Nothing to brag about.
No, in 24. Yeah, so that has to flip. What has to flip also, Alvin Kamara, if they block for him, I don't think him and Taysom Hill forgot how to run. Alvin Kamara averaged 3.2 and Taysom Hill 3.5. No, again, we need them to maybe... They don't have to average 5.8 or 5.5 yards. Just give me that you're consistently blocking well enough for Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill, with the average of 4.5 yards, and just play better against the run.
I'm going to take a break here on the Ciroc Point After, and when we get back, closing things out, Saints 20, Atlanta 17, a great day, Houdat Nation. We'll be right back after this.
And the Eagles 31, the Cowgirls 6.
Even a greater day.
Yeah, it's a great day. A great day to be American.
Be right back on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Get ready to close things out here on the Ciroc Point After. First, let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Want to wind down with some of our callers here on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line. Good buddy, Jimmy and Gretna, you've been hanging on. What you got for us today, Jimmy?
Hey, I'll make it really quick. Rough weekend, you know. My two black and gold teams, Southern Miss and Saints, mid-season firings of their coach. That sums it up. I went to the Southern Miss game. I should have gone to the Creed concert last night in Biloxi like everybody else did. I come home after Southern Miss loses, LSU loses. I watched that with my wife. I said, okay, let's see what happens with the Saints game. Yeah, it wasn't a big crowd, but it was loud. And the energy was there.
Wait, but it was a big crowd? Jimmy, what are you talking about? There was a big crowd.
Right, they had a lot of Atlanta fans, Dirty Birds. Look, the black and gold was there. The ones who were there were loud.
Yes.
But let me give a congratulations. Congratulations to Alvin Kamara. Bobby, I don't know if this record proves to you yet, he's the most talented running back we've ever had. But that's my vote. I want to get your take on that.
No, listen, the most excellent achiever in a Saints uniform. Holly takes care of himself on and off the field. But the greatest running back in Saints history, and this is from Hank Stram. I coffee with him many a times. And it's a shame that he liked cocaine too much. Chuck Muncy. I'm telling you.
What could have been, I guess.
Chuck Muncy woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Chuck Muncy was big like Derrick Henry, but was a pass receiving running back. You know, you look like who's Christian McCaffrey? Who's Alvin Kamara? I'm telling you, Chuck Muncy was on that level. But off the field, I can tell you, one story right quick. Chuck Muncy on Friday left practice. And then he shows up on Sunday at a 12 noon kickoff at 11:20 in the same clothes he had on Friday, and he hadn't slept since Thursday night. And then they didn't really even warm up because he missed a warm-up with the team. And, I ran for like 180 yards. I don't know if it was against Atlanta, whoever it was, but Chuck Muncy was that kind of a dominant player.
Cajun Cannon, you're going to be back at it tomorrow. Mike D'Atelier's Silver Slipper, Second Guess, and the Saints Coaches Show. We're going to get to talk to Darren Rizzi about his first win.
Listen, how can you not love Coach Riz? I like Dennis Allen, nice guy, but I like Coach Riz. I like the passion that he brings. And look, he even plays hurt. I mean, all of a sudden, when he has this pinched nerve
still gets to the podium.
Yeah, he still gets to the podium. So he's going to fight. So now, you know what? You beat Atlanta. Now you got to beat the Browns.
You'll take more of these fans' calls tomorrow, Cajun Cannon. It was a great one. 20-17, the Saints win. Say goodnight to the Houdats.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.